desires an open heart. He desires a sense of need. In our gospel reading today, Jesus teaches a parable about the Word of God, the parable of the sower. It's a famous one that describes how the kingdom of God works. And seed and sowing is found throughout the Bible. Our first reading talks about how as the rain falls, God's Word is rained upon us. A seed, like a mustard seed, is how the kingdom of God works. The seed is so small, and isn't it a miracle that any small seed becomes a plant? It's a miracle of faith. Like most parables, the parable of the sower is not readily apparent. Jesus describes things, seeds and sowing, planting and gardening, the seasons of life, to really mean another thing, how the Word of God works in all the seasons of life. Jesus wants us to hear and understand this, the secrets of the kingdom, he says, in our hearts. Jesus, the Son of God, has come forth from heaven to make the secret known, that it would take root in us. Eternal life, enlightenment, peace on earth, the gifts of the Spirit. He gives this message of heaven and abundant life to us that we might hear and understand Jesus. What has been hidden, he says, since before the foundation of the world. But he wants us to hear and understand it. He wants others to also. So here we go. It's a straightforward parable. But does the meaning take heart? Remember, it's about hearing and understanding. One thing to hear it year after year, another thing to understand it more each year. The sower goes out to plant a garden. The seed in the story, the Word of God, the kingdom of God, faith, trust in God. The sower ultimately refers to the source of everything, God the Father. He sends Jesus, his Son, who Jesus says in the gospel, like a seed must die and bear fruit. He must die and bear fruit. God also gives the Holy Spirit. God the Father sows the Word of God, right, recklessly in the parable. He sows it not in a field. And my grandfather was a farmer and knew how precious seeds and farming was and is. You wouldn't sow them recklessly on the path. We can even appreciate that here in New York. God is reckless with sowing his blessings. Or so it seems. He wants all to hear. In the parable, some seed falls along the path. It's eaten up by birds. Jesus explains that this is one who hears the Word of God but doesn't understand it. Easily taken away by Satan. It's another one thing to hear, right? Another to understand. How can we listen more to God's Word? I think we could probably see ourselves in each part of this parable if we're honest. We may come to God often with many concerns and requests. And indeed, this is good. Seek the Lord while he may be found. But seek first his kingdom. First, let God be God. God who sows. God who reaps. Listen to God first. Put God first in your thoughts, even before we get to the requests. Getting up in the morning, if you're like me, the mad rush of duties, responsibilities, but before the texting, and before the emails, and before this and that, a verse from God's Word, it always puts me in the right path. This is the day the Lord has made. A verse like, you don't live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. I could go on. They pop up on your phone. You could just program it. God's verse to start your day. Listening to God first. God's Word is like the air we breathe. It's easy to take it for granted. But without the air, we die, and without God's Word, we wither and fade. It can seem like a failure, too, to listen to God's Word in a world that values production. It can seem like more of a success if we start doing what we need to do and crossing off lists, which never seem to get finished anyway. Maybe we accomplish something. Yet God's Word puts those lists in perspective. God is our beginning and end, as it says in Scripture. And we're called and encouraged to listen to that. What does Jesus say on the cross after all? It's finished. Enjoy the Jesus who finishes what we can't. When we listen to God's Word, when we listen instead of talking first, we begin to move from hearing to understanding, from failure to flourishing. We learn to be content in good times and bad. We take the days as they come. God's Word speaks directly to our hearts through it all. Well, back to the parable. Some seed, right, falls on the rocks. That's the next set of falling seeds. The plants spring up, but then in the burning sun, they wither away. The seeds and plants have no soil. There's no depth in the heart, Jesus explains. This is one who hears the word, receives it with happiness, yet there's no roots. There's no going the distance here. There's no insight. There's no real commitment. And when persecution or tribulation or problems come, and don't worry, they will, immediately fall away. The Christian faith in Scripture is seen as a long race. The New Testament calls it a marathon over many seasons of our lives. And the parable wants us to consider again, to understand, are we prepared to remain faithful to God and God's Word until the end? Struggles and pain can seem like a failure. And no one wants to face pain. Yet, if you think about all the moments in life that are full of struggle and pain, don't they often lead to flourishing? Not always, but they often do. Working out, saving, challenges, being diligent each year, seeing how a good job is done again and again, seeing how God provides again and again. And after all, when you think about it, Jesus wants us to hear and understand we're born actually in pain and struggle, are we not? And yet the pain and struggle of our birth leads to the promise of our flourishing with mother, with family, with loved ones, even strangers. We may initially see pain and struggle, but God wants us to see the path to flourishing. The same is true with our relationship with God. God wants us to be diligent in following Him, faithful to God and others, to treat each other with that love, to love even the least. True love drives out all fear. To be faithful to God with our bodies, our time, our possessions, our very selves. And when we're faithful to God year in, year out, we persevere, especially when the going gets tough. Our relationship with God then often deepens. And I have to say, as a pastor, I've seen how many times struggles and pain can lead to a more deeper and flourishing relationship with God. It's not that we want that struggle and pain, but oftentimes it invites a deeper relationship with God. Our God, after all, in Scripture, is a rock, a refuge, who in Jesus is with us no matter what, who gives us the spirit of endurance. There's the path, there's the rocks, there's the thorns. Jesus doesn't spend a lot of time on this one. The thorns, Jesus says, are the cares of this world. It's almost like just look around. There are the thorns. The deceitfulness of riches, choking the word of God. Love proves unfruitful. Well, this one's true, right? It could seem like a failure, even to come to church sometimes and listen to God's word, or that's often how it's seen. But we know better. And in a city that makes you work all the time, this can seem like a waste of time. But we know that there's a deeper meaning here, isn't there? There is eternity to bear. In a culture that values image over integrity, commitment to God, listening to God's word can sound foreign and strange. It does. But when you think about it, it's what we need the most, especially here. And our Heavenly Father knows we need it and provides it. And no good, Scripture says, comes from worrying. No good at all about money or health or work or wealth. When we seek God and His kingdom first, our hearts will be set on a way of peace, the way of God who provides. Why work and strive, Jesus says, for what will not last, and forget about the eternal, the integral, God's abiding word? Real and lasting flourishing means looking to that eternal abiding word of God. And all that we have will pass away, but Scripture says God's word won't. Seek first that word, that kingdom, and the Lord will direct our paths. Finally, then, at the end of the parable, we get to what's on good soil. It's at the very end, after all these twists and turns. It's the one who hears and understands. It's the one who bears much fruit. When we hear and understand how much God sows in our life, how much God loves us, how God even takes what is torn in our life and sews it back together, how God guides us, how God's word and grace is multiplied in us and through us, that's when we begin to flourish. Consider all the ways that God provides for us. Our Savior loves us. The Spirit gives us peace. When we consider all of the works that God has sown in us, through us, among us, I think we begin to understand the secret, the true nature of God. That God is not angry, that God is merciful and abounding in steadfast love. Jesus says the secret of the kingdom to realize this God of love and kindness. When I consider the course of my life, I realize just how much I've been blessed by others, how much I've received mercy and steadfast love, how seeds have been sown for me, even when I least expected it. God's mercy, loving kindness has been multiplied in others for me, for my flourishing, for my well-being. And I use myself as an example here. I'm sure the same is true for you, for all of us. Think of all the seeds sown to bring you where you are. Grace upon grace given, often in unexpected ways, multiplied through others to you, in you, for you. In our gospel reading, Jesus desires that we hear and understand this. It's almost like we expand our horizon to see how things really work. His mercy and steadfast love. That we channel that mercy and love and peace to others, especially those who need it the most. A parable, a story Jesus tells to keep on keeping on in the faith as little flowers in God's own garden. Flowers which flourish and make life more beautiful for all to see. Amen.